beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us his forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
Takest away the sin of the world. Shepherd, without whom nothing is secure. Rescue and preserve us so that we may not be lost forever, but follow you, rejoicing the way that leads to eternal life. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Scripture readings for this, the 14th Sunday after Pentecost. The Old Testament reading from the 34th chapter of the prophet Ezekiel. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep, and I will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they've been scattered on a day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel by the ravines and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with the good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. As for you, my flock, thus says the Lord God, behold, I judge between sheep and sheep, between rams and male goats. Is it not enough for you to feed on the good pasture that you must tread down with your feet the rest of your pasture, and to drink of clear water that you must muddy the rest of the water with your feet? And must my sheep eat what you have trodden with your feet and drink what you have muddied with your feet? Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, behold, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep, because you push with side and shoulder and thrust at all the weak with your horns till you've scattered them abroad. I will rescue my sheep. They shall no longer be a prey. And I will judge between sheep and sheep, and I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. And he shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I am the Lord. I have spoken. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let my cry come before you, O Lord. Let my plea come before you. My lips will pour forth praise.
For you teach me your statutes.
my tongue will sing of your word.
For all your commandments are right.
Let your hand be ready to help me.
For I
have
chosen your precepts.
I long for your salvation, O Lord. Soul live and praise you,
and let your just grace help me.
I have gone astray like a lost sheep, seek your servant,
for I do not forget your
lesson according to Paul's letter to Timothy, the first chapter. I thank him who has given me strength, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he judged me faithful, appointing me to his service, though formerly I was a blasphemer, persecutor, and insolent opponent. But I received mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Gospel according to St. Luke, the 15th chapter.
Glory be to thee, O
Lord. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear Jesus. And the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." And so he told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." And just so I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or that woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it. And when she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." And just so I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
Together we confess our holy Christian faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. The text for our consideration on this 14th Sunday after Pentecost from the gospel reading in the 15th chapter of Luke. Just so, I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Losing what is of immense importance leaves behind the immensity of its absence. As soon as you discover the absence of that which should have been accessible to you, that which is of such value to you that your existence is seemingly altered by its presence or absence, the feeling of dread that comes upon you can seem almost unbearable to endure. The sinking feeling that strikes when a cell phone, a purse or wallet, or a set of keys is missing and is not where it was thought to be is enough to trigger anxiety attacks, heart attacks, or whatever other effects an elevated level of adrenaline may have upon the body. Losing valuables can truly cause harm to a person who loses them. It is likely for that reason that when losses appear to occur, the mind quickly switches into recovery mode, seeking to find what was lost and restore the missing valuable to rightful placement. Of course, there are numerous ways in which loss can occur. For instance, by misplacement, theft, destruction by force, or depending on the nature of the valuable, by murder. People themselves, within their God-given vocations as friends, neighbors, siblings, children, parents, spouses, co-workers, employers, employees, etc., prove to be of value, among the highest value. Losing someone who is of immense value proves to be a most difficult loss that one can be made to face. One need only think of the recent loss suffered by a now widow and her two children when her husband's life was brought to an end by the firing of a bullet, depriving a 3-year-old daughter and a 2-year-old son of their loving, loyal, faithful, and committed biological father. A grandfather and grandmother weeping for the loss of their son. A widow mourning the loss of her husband. Children crying for their dad, who will not be coming home. An entire nation riveted by the loss of a life that stood in defiance of confusion and disorder. Leaving people to now struggle with the sinking feeling of dread as confusion and disorder appear to make the forum of publicity a less hospitable place for expressions of important convictions and values closely held. The angels of God themselves, it turns out, know a thing or two about loss and what is required for the lost to be found. They know because a portion of them were lost to God eternally in the devil's rebellion. They know because they bore witness to the loss of mankind unto God when men fell into sin and became a lost and condemned person. Those angels whom yet attend to the Lord Almighty, the angels of God, as the Christ himself described them, beheld the very act that plunged the first man and woman into the confusion and disorder of unbelief. As the man and woman hid themselves for their nakedness, leaving God wondering where his lost creatures had gone to, calling to the man in effort to find him, "Where are you?" Those angels had bore witness to the devastating loss of the vast majority of mankind when the flood waters came upon the earth and none save Noah and his family were found safe inside the ark. Those same angels knew the terrible loss of every unbelieving soul that was born a lost and condemned person, who had died without the gift of faith and the promise of God to search for, find, rescue the lost and condemned human creatures of his making, purely out of his own fatherly goodness and mercy. They likely know still the names of every soul lost unto our God. Those who grumbled against Jesus for receiving sinners must not have thought of themselves as lost, condemned creatures. They must not have considered the value of every living soul, every man, woman, and child, as being of immense value to the creating Father in heaven, who so loved the world of lost and condemned sinners that he sent his only Son to seek out, find, and rescue his lost ones, as he declared he would through his prophet Ezekiel. Those Pharisees and scribes, for all the seemingly valuable effort they put forth in their vocations, did not see the value in sinners. People in their sin, in the confusion and disorder of their souls, lose sight of the value of other sinful people. People are conceived in sin, such that they are born blind to the value God has for every human creature, and their inner inclinations toward evil, even from their youth, causes further propagation of souls being lost and the need for finding them. Words and bullets fly, people die, and the relationships formed become seemingly lost to the disorder of sinfulness and its resulting state of confusion. Even those learned men in the time of our Lord's earthly ministry mistook themselves as those who were in no need of being found. Surely they were not lost unto the Lord as they applied themselves to the study of the Torah and the transcription of its numerous commentaries. These spiritually unclean sinners over here, those dishonest tax collectors over there, such as they cannot be the sort of company a teacher of God's holy word would keep. Right? God in his holiness cannot be searching for such souls as would fire a bullet at a defenseless person and maim entire families and far-reaching communities. Right? Such would be the thinking of those who would grumble at the seeking done by the shepherd, the good shepherd, as he called himself, who seeks for his lost sheep. Such might be the thinking of those who would look down upon a woman for sweeping her whole house just to find one coin. After all, what sort of shepherd leaves his 99-fold flock behind in an open field, exposed and unprotected, to go in search of just the one sheep? And what woman in her right mind goes through all the trouble of cleaning her entire house just to find a single silver coin when she has nine others? The sort of shepherd who, out of profound obedience to his father, seeks out the lost sheep to carry it home by laying his life down for the sheep, knowing the sheep was lost in death, and the only way to find it and to bear it safely home was to lay his life down, enter death himself, find the sheep, and raise the sheep to new and everlasting life. The sort of woman whose husband bequeathed to her an inheritance of such importance and value that she could not afford to be separated from even a single part of it, as each unit of value stood for what had been entrusted to her, as the Lord has entrusted his holy word and his true doctrine to his beloved bride, the church. Grumble as those scribes and Pharisees might, the angels of God knew better. They know of the mystery of the incarnation of the word, of the coming of him who was promised long ago, and was at last sent to seek out the lost, the condemned, the confused, the disordered, to find them with his own incarnate body and blood and restore them to his Father. Those angels, those holy angels who sing his praise continually, know of God's earnest desire to seek the lost and condemned human creatures he made, whom the Holy Spirit would call by the gospel, enlighten with his gifts, sanctify and keep in the one true faith as he would gather them into the Holy Church to be daily and richly forgiven their sins and to be raised at the last day together with all believers and be given everlasting life. Those angels of God know of such desire on the part of him who made them and deemed that they themselves, like the 99 supposed righteous persons, need no repentance. Those angels know it is for us men and for our salvation that Jesus came down from heaven and was incarnate in our flesh, because we desperately need repentance in order to be found. The striking, almost unsettling nature of something being lost is that the burden of finding and restoring it to its rightful place, if it can be at all, is entirely on the one who lost it and thus would seek to do the finding. Something that is lost cannot find its way back to who it was that lost it. Sinners cannot find their own way back to God. By their own works, sinners will not be justified before him. For sinners who were lost to God to be found, they need more than instruction. They need someone greater than Moses. The Pharisees may have believed themselves righteous in God's sight for following what they thought was the letter of the Torah. But in the pride of their sinful hearts, their own imaginings had left them scattered, unfound by God who was calling even to them to repent and believe the gospel. The sinners and tax collectors were drawing near, drawn by the spirit of him who sent forth his only son to pay the penalty for their every sin and restore them to his Father. Sinners and tax collectors continue to draw near to him because he is still seeking the lost, calling them by the power of his name and his holy word to turn from their own works and believe in his works to suffice for their salvation, and to be guided by his works as he would carry us on his shepherding shoulders. The angels of God, the hosts of heaven, rejoice when a lost sinner is found by the gospel and is taken up upon their Savior's shoulders as he baptizes them and then houses and feeds them with his own body and blood given and shed for all sinners, for you, for me, and for every imaginable sinner that is brought forth into this fallen world of sin. His Spirit, through the word of the gospel and his sacraments, will find those who were otherwise lost to him. And when the Spirit, by the word and sacraments, does seek out and find them, the entire company of heaven rejoices for the finding of even one sinner who was lost and yet is now found. Though your sins and mine were as scarlet, they have been made white as snow, as by the blood of Christ we stand fully acquitted and found. We sheep who from the fold had strayed, our true shepherd did not forsake. We who are weary of this fallen world and from time to time feel utterly lost along our way, we have been sought out by the mercy of our Savior Christ, who takes us gently in his arms, that we may yet live even though we die. Our sin had left us lost, condemned, deserving naught but grief and shame. Yet our Savior revealed for us, by the rich grace of his own wounds, pardon and peace. Having found us by his grace, proclaiming life for us in his name, and granting to us perfect healing for all our ills in the raising of our bodies to new and everlasting life. It hurts to lose someone. Yet for the Lord, it hurt him to find those who lost someone's, to find those lost someone's we had been before he called us by the Spirit. Yet his finding even one of us lost and condemned sinners causes his angels to rejoice and teaches us just how valuable each and every one of us is to him. No matter how awful a sinner we may be in the sight of the world and of the Lord our God. Loving one's neighbor as oneself and abiding in the light of God's truth is not something a lost sinner can do. Yet he would seek to restore that lost sinner through the teaching and proclamation of his word to empower every sinner to be his holy one, to belong to the body of his holy one, his only begotten Son, and further the effort to teach the faithful, to seek the lost, and to care for all as they have need. So grumble not at the woes and follies of this sin-driven, confused, and disordered world, dearly beloved. For remember that you too were once but a wretched, lost, and blind sinner. But now, by God's grace, you are found in Christ. And now you can see that heaven rejoices over even one sinner being found, repenting, believing in, and being baptized into Jesus, your Savior and mine. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us now rise and sing the post-sermon hymn, stanzas 6 and 7 of Jesus Sinners Doth Receive.
Hospitalization. We pray for our brothers in Christ, Michael Bruno and Edmund Burden, William Wharton, Benoit Kai, all of whom are unable to attend with us, our services. We pray for the sister of Jack Thomas named Karen, who is visiting. We pray that she have a safe return home. In this time of national tragedy, we do pray for our nation. And finally, today, as the Church on September 14th commemorates Holy Cross Day, we give thanks for the atoning work of our Lord Jesus on the Blessed Cross. We pray. Heavenly Father, heaven rejoices when a sinner repents. Guard us against self-righteousness that sees no need to hear of Christ and his redemption, and preserve us in your word and grace, that as your people we may always be about the proclamation of repentance and the forgiveness of sins for the sake of Jesus. Lord, in your mercy. Almighty God, you call pastors and set them to the task of shepherding your people. Bless them in their work of providing your gifts to those you have gathered, and as they seek those who have wandered away. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, you promise to shepherd your sheep for the sake of Jesus. According to your word, seek the lost, bring back the stray, bind up the injured, and strengthen the weak. Have mercy upon all who look to you for deliverance, including Bob. Bless with faith our brothers Michael and Edmund, William and Benoit. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, look with favor on the households of this congregation and grant that all may live in love that issues from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. Lord, in your mercy. Heavenly Father, as our nation reels from the assassination this past week, we pray that our country would survive the present strain, that finally, for the sake of the gospel, we might be a land in which free discourse may be held without threat of harm, that even in the midst of things we cannot understand, that your people would find comfort in the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. We pray that those lost in error's maze may know the light of Christ. And we pray that your people may be patient, compassionate, and ready to forgive. Lord, in your mercy. King of the ages, immortal and invisible, the only God, look in kindness upon all entrusted with public office in our land and grant them wisdom and courage to serve our nation according to your will. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, who granted safe passage to Abraham and Sarah on their journey to the Magi as they sought the Christ, we pray that you would grant to the sister of Jack, Karen, safe travels as she returns home and a happy homecoming. Lord, in your mercy. God of the ages, in the fullness of time, your Son became flesh, and he received sinners and ate with them on his way to the cross. Bless all those he feeds today with his own body and blood in the fellowship of this altar. Guard them from impenitence and resistance to your promises, and with forgiveness, grant them life and salvation. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful God, on this day on which the church commemorates the blessed holy cross of our Lord Jesus, grant that we may always treasure as life-giving the redemption achieved by our Lord Jesus Christ on his cross, that tree of life, and grant that we trust the Holy Spirit will provide us strength to bear our Christian crosses where and as we must. Lord, in your mercy. We entrust all these petitions to your care, loving Father, confident in your great mercy, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who is worshipped together with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you. only meet, right, and salutary, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who out of love for his fallen creation humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Thank you.
thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Countenance upon you and give you peace.